All right, welcome to Shunya 1, episode 111.
Apparently, we were just told that it's called the Nelson.
Yes, for those of you who know cricket references, because neither Amit nor I
are aware of this. Yes, but apparently 111 is the Nelson, so this is the Nelson, or 111.
Yes, but it's interesting. We are Shunya 111. I think we are something in binary already at this stage, right? And every episode with only ones and zeros is going to be interesting.
That is, yeah, okay, all right. I don't know what else to make of that, but yeah, sure.
But no, it's good to be back. I think we've been a little sporadic,
but we're going to get there. We'll figure this out. We'll figure our schedules out.
Yes, we will. Yes. And we already have a very interesting episode lined up today. We're talking to another very interesting entrepreneur. I think someone who's been a techie and now is in a whole different space while still being a techie.
Yes, I love this space, right? I think that I've always kind of really enjoyed these kinds of businesses, right? Which are basically enabling tech and kind of solving specific problems, which I guess is like the most generic thing in the world to say. But I really like what these guys are doing, right? I love the way that they look at like hotels, right? Or, well, we should mention who the guest
is. Yeah. Today we're talking to Devin from Saffron Stays.
Yes.
And of course, we know the brand Saffron Stays from a lot of other searches, like all of us have done, looking for interesting
weekend getaways,
especially if you're in Bombay. That's literally weekend getaways is the one thing.
I think that's the question we should ask, right? How important is the weekend getaway search ranking?
We should ask that question. Let's actually jump into the show and find out and talk a little bit more about Devin's story and find out what Saffron Stays is all about. All right, welcome to the show, Devin. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How about you?
Fine as well. Thank you for making it here, and it's great to have you on the show. I didn't introduce you with your full name, so I'm going to try it one more time. Devendra Parulekar.
Perfect.
Yes. And I thought I had it bad.
Yes, you did have it. Well, you do have it bad. I mean, like, you know, this is like, what's that old Andho Mein Kana Raja types? We're in that situation, right? Long names and, you know.
Long names. I have a middle long name as well. What's Kamalakar. It? So, you know, when I have to... when I have to fill a form, you know, I'm always shortened in the spaces to actually...
I empathize. You empathize. I completely do.
Sheila Ditya Mukhopadhyay, Devendra...
Kamalakar Parulekar.
Amit Doshi.
You have no idea, man.
I have 9 letters, period. I think that both of you have like single words which are more than like the combination of my front and back.
But Devin, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And of course, we're very interested to know a little bit more about your personal background. You know, I know you've been a techie all your life, and now you're of course a entrepreneur. So, and you've also been like a hacker at some point and done some very cool stuff. So can you give us a little bit of your own personal background and the story of how sort of Saffron Stays came about?
Sure. So in my previous avatar, I used to be a career professional. I was a partner in Ernst & Young India. I helped them build the entire cybersecurity practice from scratch, built to a very strong 200 member team. Then one fine day turned 40, and on my birthday walked up to my boss and said, you know what, I want to hang my boots. The only question my boss asked me at that point of time is, do you have a plan B? And I said, look, no, I don't have a plan B. He said, then all the best. You're cut out for your entrepreneurial journey.
Wow.
And that's about it. Thereafter, it was never looking back. Mm-hmm. We started this company an year before I quit. So my wife and also co-founder, chartered accountant by profession, banker all her life, decided to quit her career. And like a typical Maharashtrian middle-class family, we split our risks. One person continued to work for a while. The other one ventured out.
Right.
And when we realized that we've come to a stage where probably the business really requires it to take off, and two heads then one. Mm-hmm. That was the time when I called it quits and hung my boots.
Yeah. And what stage of life? I mean, you said this was obviously once you were 40, which is like, I think, a little Uncommon for most of the entrepreneur stories that we hear every day, right?
Yeah, this is also called midlife crisis.
No, but I think it's commendable, right? I think, apart from your wealth of experience, the appetite for risk is something which also, I think people start to see a little bit more at a later stage. And I think it's the middle of, when you're in the middle of your career, when you're the least risky.
You're right. Yeah. But for us as founders, we got married very early. We had our kids very early. So a lot of the tick marks that usually you need to have in your life were mm-hmm. done a little early. We mm-hmm. got our first apartment early. We got our second apartment very early. We got our money sorted out, financial yeah. problems sorted out. And then we started planning for this.
Right.
We stopped buying cars. We stopped any fancy purchases or anything that could. Our lifestyles were very frugal. Mm-hmm. We roped in our children into this lifestyle, mm-hmm. made them co-conspirators in this process, made them understand mm-hmm. the need for delayed gratification. They mm-hmm. they understood, they cooperated, and and we planned for this. I mean, it's not wow. a risk. It's a yeah. calculated risk that we took for almost 6-7 years till we mm-hmm. got to a point where financially we were having that safety net to take this decision, which we knew would probably leave us without a stable source of income for at least 5-7 years.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that probably is the lesser seen aspect of entrepreneurial yeah. life, a safety net. Some people are privileged to have this safety net when they are in their 20s. We were not. Yeah. We probably had to start earning, like the both of you probably yeah. in the same situation, the next day that we finished our MBA. And that, yeah. right?
Yeah, yeah. Even before.
Even before, yeah. I mean, some of us paid for our own education and yeah. scholarships yeah. and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And that's, like I said, amongst all the stories we hear recently, right, in the Indian startup ecosystem of, 20-somethings taking risks, raising tons of money, it's a healthy, I would say, fresh departure from all of that.
Yes.
Into hearing about this story. And in a way, I think it also harks back to a lot of Indian business mentalities in general, right? A lot of businessmen in India over the years originally have been very calculated business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course, yes. Yeah.
So I guess it ties into that.
I think you're right about that, right? I think that one of the things that you see right now is just in the ecosystem at large, right? There is chanciness sometimes for the sake of chanciness, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like, you know.
But when we even raised our first round of funding, we were very clear that we bootstrapped this business right. insofar as we can, as much as we can. And till we reach the point where we realize now only growth capital will allow us to scale.
Right.
Only then did we accept yeah. capital. And we've actually been proven right because the fund that we attracted was really looking for an early stage investment where the product market fit was proven.
Right.
But required growth capital.
Right.
Also had first generation entrepreneurs. Mm. Also was focused on consumer brands. And was
also was married and over 40.
I'm sure that you're unique in your portfolio or your investees portfolio in that sense, right?
Yeah.
No, but it's great to hear the genesis of this, and also the fact that you've been a career professional in
yes.
technology,
yes.
Building something as interesting and deep tech as a cybersecurity system. Mm. How did that go from what you were doing there to what you're doing today? And tell us a little bit about what Saffron Stays is all about. And
yes. So we started this company, and the core DNA of this company is still technology. Mm-hmm. This initially started out like a marketplace. We wanted to wanted to mimic Airbnb in India, mm-hmm. But quickly realized that that's not, practical, because right. you're eventually taking on someone with billions of dollars in yeah. their bank account, and right. You obviously can't compete with that kind of money. But the platform was built like a marketplace, and I coded large part of that platform myself. Wow. So the core DNA of this organization is tech, right? And we think, behave, act always as tech first, and we are probably, I always tell my friends, we are masquerading as a hospitality company.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And everything that we're doing is probably, tomorrow we could be selling bus tickets, but for you know, but it's the same inherent platform of being a marketplace.
That's how every techie always sees their product, right? It's so modular. It could tomorrow become anything.
I pitch to investor for Series C and C.
Yes, that's true.
But so, I mean, like you mentioned Airbnb and how you were thinking initially and then you pivoted out into like this more. Can you expand a little bit on that in terms of like the differences between your model and the Airbnb model?
So Airbnb are partners to us. We distribute our product through them. But they are more of a marketplace, pure market aggregator marketplace where the homeowner and the guest is pretty much they're on their own.
Right.
And they're talking to each other directly. Mm-hmm. But we realize that in India, we rarely drive our own cars ourselves. We like drivers. Similarly, homeowners who are ultra rich would not like to talk to a guest directly. Raat ko AC band pad gaya, you know, those kind of issues don't ever, they want to entertain.
Right.
And they need somebody like us, credible, trusted partner who will actually do all the work of hard work of ensuring that the processes are fixed, the staff is taken care of, the service is spot on, maintenance of the house is spot on. Yeah. And at the same time, guest service at all 24 hours of the day is absolutely spot on because the guests on the other side are unforgiving.
Right.
Right.
Once they pay you top dollar for renting out a villa over the weekend, or otherwise, they are completely unforgiving because they don't care whether, you know, if the electricity is gone, if Maharashtra government has not probably generated electricity that evening or some tree has fallen, they don't care.
Yeah.
And you know how the monsoons are terrible.
Yeah. Right.
We fight against the elements in this state more than anything else. Yeah. But we are blessed. I mean, I must tell you, Maharashtra is... some of the spots that we have discovered and unlocked to the rest of the world are better than what I have traveled the globe.
Right.
And I must put my hand on heart and say that probably it's better than, you know, even Lake Geneva or otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah, it's spot on.
And you guys are working mostly in Maharashtra or are you working across India?
Right? Yeah, so out of the 175 odd homes that we have, around 120 are in and around Mumbai and Pune.
Okay.
2 to 3 hours driving distance from Mumbai and Pune. Or even the ones that we have in North and South are actually created for the Mumbai audience or the Pune audience. We're very clear in our marketing.
Wow.
Because we've, see, I told you right in the beginning that we have limited dollars to market.
Right.
So we've put all those marketing dollars in only one market, which is the Mumbai and Pune market.
Right.
And the network effect of somebody having visited one of our homes and then recommending to his friends or doing a repeat purchase is very high.
Mm-hmm.
Now for me to, and why should I enter a new market till the first market is fully exploited and the headroom that we have for Mumbai and Pune, and you know all of us are so starved of options here.
Seriously,
it's completely starved.
Yeah.
So and there's enough and more supply out there, so on both sides of the problem, the supply side at the same time the demand side, it's an unsolved problem for the Mumbai and the Pune audience, and that's where we want to focus on.
Interesting. So, you know, that actually brings up the question which I had somewhat jokingly said I'll ask in the introduction, which was how important is the weekend getaway keyword for you, like on Google? I mean, like you must SEO the hell out of that keyword, right? Because I mean, like if Mumbai and Pune is your primary kind of this, that's got to be really like an important one for you.
So it is an important keyword for us. Mm-hmm. And of course, we focus on that keyword. But if you notice this very carefully, you, in a way, if you start focusing too much on that weekend getaway keyword, you paint yourself in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because then you're restricting your market to just the weekend.
Right.
What we are now moving into, and that's the blue ocean that we've discovered for ourselves, we're looking at sweating our weekday inventory as well.
Right.
So we want to position ourselves as an all-weather getaway, all-time getaway, every 365 occasions. And so, for example, your birthday can come on any of those 365 days.
Right, right.
Your anniversary can come on any of those 365. Your dad's 75th birthday can come on any of those 75th, you know, any of those. Not just necessarily the 52 weekends that you have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, we've also corporates are more than eager to take a day event or a day picnic or a sundowner to Alibag just take a speedboat, take your 10, 20, 30 top guys, have a Sundowner and a Carlsberg style board
wow.
meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, in a swimming pool.
I already
pool.
Want this. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what we're moving towards. So it's no longer a weekend getaway. Okay. It is definitely a getaway. And look at ourselves. I mean, Mumbaikers stay in less than 1,000 square foot flats.
Right. Yeah.
And suddenly when you go to a villa, which is 12 acres, 7 bedrooms, 6 bedrooms, you know, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yes.
And I must say that the Delhi guys have been a little pampered here. They stay in large houses. They don't understand the value of stepping out. And we are willing to brave the Vashi Tolnaka and, the long queues at Gateway. Gateway of India.
Just to get away.
Yeah. From this madness. Yeah. And how many times you and I will go to a pub or a lounge.
Exactly.
And even if we think of a house party, do we really have houses that big?
No, we don't.
And even if we do have a house that big, who will clean up thereafter? Yeah, so the host says, look, not my house. Yeah, so let's just go to a superb prime villa in Alibaug.
This mental decision-making model is so perfect. This is exactly how most of us would think.
Yes, that's what. So we get discovered through other platforms as well. So we distribute through an Airbnb or a booking.com or an Agoda or a Make My Trip. But that's a very small part of our business, and it just gives us brand salience or distribution capabilities.
Interesting. You have a lot of repeat, I would assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're fan following.
Huh?
Fan following.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would assume, right? I mean, once somebody finds it, then it'll be like, oh, wow, this was cool. And then they can kind of move into other properties.
It's like opening a packet of snacks, you know, chips. Oh. You can't stop with one, and you want to do a weekend getaway, a getaway regularly. And we find, so we actually created a small club called the Togetherness Club.
Okay.
And customers who've spent upwards of a few lakhs with us are a part of this Togetherness Club. And we've created a small community where they keep enjoying privileges, unlocking benefits, and they can share these benefits with their close ones.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Wow. And that's worked really well for us.
Yeah.
Then we launched, in fact, a membership which is only sold through our B2B channels. So only if you're a card holder of a certain bank and the platinum, super platinum card holder, you get our privileges. Or you have bought a Mercedes-Benz through one of the dealers, say Auto Hanger in Mumbai, you automatically become a member of Saffron Stays. And then you enjoy those privileges. So you buy S-class Mercedes and you drive to one of our homes.
Wow.
That's the pitch. That's a whole other market. And some of the clients that come through that is Bollywood A-listers.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they, if you notice very carefully, they never tweet about us. They never Instagram us. And, you know, my heart burns when they don't. But I know that they come because of the privacy that they get.
Yeah.
Right, that 50 people are not mobbing them in that.
But I think that's a part of the, so the, when you're doing ultra luxury, that's a part of the kind of sell, isn't
it? Yeah. So in fact, in my entire pitch, we never use the word luxury.
You don't?
No, we don't. We talk about the two new luxuries, which is the luxury of privacy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you talk about private villas, luxury is assumed.
Ah. Huh.
But the hospitality industry is pretty much confused what luxury is. Is it that Italian marble or is it that lake view right in front of you, which is probably luxury?
Yeah.
I would trade the latter for the former.
Yeah, I think most would, right?
It also allows me to spend less as a company.
Yeah.
But we talk less about, even our food is home cooked.
Okay.
We do not talk about butler service. We talk about friendly neighborhood caretakers.
Right.
Anything that if you were to have a house in Lake Pavna, right, you are not going to have butlers there.
Yeah.
You're not going to have, some fancy Italian food there, right? You're going to have home-cooked, maushi food.
Right.
Yes.
And you're probably going to enjoy that far more because it's cooked over a chula, and that's going to bring memories to you. And that's all you need is your friends around that barbecue.
Yeah.
Just imagine that.
Yeah. No, and it's the perfect, I was going to ask earlier about, why this now?
Huh.
Why have you seen your market exploding in the past so many years, year on year, you're opening, like you said, new verticals of business,
yes,
from corporates, from everything else. Why do you think the time is now for this? I mean, apart from the fact that Bombay, I mean, yes, I agree, we are all starved.
Mm.
But what is causing this sort of consumer behavior change, if you think it's happening?
One thing is that nobody wants to buy his or her own second home.
Yeah.
Right? Which means we are all in the sharing economy.
Yeah.
Right? And that ensures that nobody buys and everyone is willing to, they don't want to get locked down into one home. I have 200 options. Why don't you go to any of those?
Right.
Today you feel like disconnecting. You go to a house which has horses and, you know, which is in a forest, middle of a forest in Tala called Nisarg. Or tomorrow you feel like, no, I need to be very close to, you know, a place which has a 20 Mbps lease land. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a house called Xanadu, mm-hmm, right? And which has the works. It has a home theater. In fact, I'm hosting one of the top media companies and their Hong Kong CEO is streaming in through live.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, they want that. Yeah, I mean, okay.
But they want the setting to be in the, nice.
And I was wondering, you know, will I be able to get a 20 Mbps line? And Alibaba, I found, you know.
One, you did?
Yeah, a cable dude I found who actually got that wire.
That's amazing. Yeah, I have friends in Alibaba who complain about internet all the time.
Yeah, but there we found it. There was a home theater. We have a spa there in that house. And this media company is just totally thrilled. So it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the aspirational Indian is willing to shell out 5 to 7K per person over that stay.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, and that's nothing. I mean, for the 24 hours of... Yeah. You go to a bar, you spend 3K a person,
yes,
minimum.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
For those 3 hours or 4 hours, and you just smashed and you go back home, some police guy shoves you into
shitty hotels in Bangalore and Delhi cost you at least 5-6,000 bucks a night.
Correct.
And like, not good hotels.
Exactly.
Very, very average hotels.
This is just 6-7,000 and all meals included, yeah, and the world's best, you know, backdrops.
I don't even know what an okay hotel in Bombay would cost, honestly, because I mean, like in Bombay, the only rates I hear about are from 5 stars. Nobody ever talks about any of
them. And they're freaking expensive.
They're extraordinarily expensive.
Yeah. So we're a credible option, undiscovered option to a lot of people, and we want to go mainstream. Mm. So far, in fact, we've always spent all our advertising dollars on social media, and I think we are at that stage where we're actually contemplating going beyond and going to mainstream traditional media as well,
right,
or the non-social media digital media as well.
So, yeah. And what would you, I mean, apart from these curated sort of properties and, of course, the full stack sort of service that you're providing, what, I mean, and also you mentioned the loyalty program and such, right? What is your key differentiator when you go out into this market? Like, obviously, like you said, the demand exists. Supply also exists. Obviously, there's different quality levels of supply and so on. Is there a minimum threshold that you go after in terms of...
No, of course. But, you know, when we started out a few years ago, we were the only kids on the block, right?
Yeah.
And whatever supply we used to bring out in the market pretty much got sold out pretty soon. But soon, there were a few competitors and others got their act in place. Individual homeowners got their service levels up and running. And then we had to come to a point, in fact, very recently, where we said, look, now what? I mean, it's just linear revenue growth that's happening. You add 5 homes, you get $5. You add 10 homes, you get $10.
Yeah.
Where's the non-linearity coming through?
Yeah.
Right? And that's where we stumbled upon two large corporate verticals. Two large verticals, which, you know, was never in their consideration set. So they always knew about Saffron Stays. My own friends, working as top honchos in corporate circles, they said, look, we always knew you, but now you've launched a corporate vertical. Now we're going to come to you. We are tired of those hotels.
Actually, I think I got this on one WhatsApp group. Somebody,
oh, you did?
Jam with Sam?
Ah, yes, of course.
Yeah. I think they were on his WhatsApp group, somebody
he
posted something about that.
Oh, lovely, And the other vertical that we found, which is even more interesting and probably has the potential to be 10 times more, is the celebrations vertical. Just as if you look at how Cadbury's launched itself in the chocolate space, they did not take on chocolates because they realized that the mithai market is 1,000 times more than the chocolate market. And they went after the mithai market and said, we are the celebration. So, kuch meetha ho jaye. And very similarly, we've realized that when I look at my 200 homes around Mumbai and Pune, These homes are actually options to have your wedding. These homes are they're alternatives to you to those ghisa pita banquet halls that you and I are tied down to, right? So you want to have your 40th birthday bash. Why should you do in a stupid, banquet hall or even a five-star hall? All you need is people who matter.
Right.
Yeah.
All you need is a fantastic spot where you can have the privacy of whatever you want to do.
I think so you're underselling the importance of alcohol, but okay.
BYOD, bring your own daru.
Okay. No, and of course, you get even services for all of these things, right? Yeah, wherever the venue.
Yeah, the techie would have got the joke.
Yes, yes. It's a dangerous acronym.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but all of these services which you put under one umbrella, essentially, is replicating the whole experience, right? Which you would otherwise get at a...
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's our biggest differentiator is how we are branding and positioning some of these things that would have... they were hiding in plain sight. Suddenly having talked about celebrations, I'm getting inquiries of reunions, I'm getting inquiries of birthday celebrations, pre-wedding cocktail parties, which we had never ever imagined.
Interesting. I didn't think of this for a reunion thing, but a reunion would be really fun actually at a place like this.
Yeah, and so for example, I went for my 24th reunion, college reunion, Podar college reunion, and everyone, we did in some sad looking banquet hall, and then they said 25th agla saal hai saffron stays. Okay, special. Can you ensure there is something spectacular? And then we are thinking of a day outing, go there, take speedboards, have a sundowner party, champagne, music, live music, jazz, come back in the evening, 8 o'clock, and you're sorted.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. It really is. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yes. So, or kitty parties, you know.
Okay. Now you're becoming Delhi. Now you're getting into Delhi. But coming back to the, your core or your roots in tech, right? And you said you coded the most of this platform yourself in the early days, and now, of course, it's growing. How are you still how do you think of yourselves as a tech company? How are you using tech to scale? Like, give us some examples of how that is blended into your DNA, so to speak.
So I'll give you an example of how tech is still so core to our business and how we use tech to solve problems. Now, if you look at conventionally in the OTA world, online travel agency world, which is booking.com, Make My Trip, people come to the website and they shortlist, select, and then swipe the card, and that's about it. But that's a purchase which is typically happening between a husband and wife. Yeah, which means two people are quickly taking a decision. So the friction is very less, and the entire focus should be on ease of use of the OTA, quick checkout. But when it comes to an involved purchase, where there are 20 people hiring a villa, okay, usually you will find one person takes the lead, and then a temp WhatsApp group gets created.
Of course, I've been on many of those
temp WhatsApp groups. Are they WhatsApp group? Kuch hota nahi baad mein. Yeah, because
until the next occasion.
Until the next.
If you're still friends with them.
There's a really fun viral video Netflix put out about the Goa trip WhatsApp groups and the graveyard of Goa trip WhatsApp
groups. So that's exactly what happens. But we realize that the need to talk to an advisor, a holiday advisor, exists because lakh rupee ke upar ka aapka ticket size hai, even 50 ke upar ka ticket size hai, including meals or whatever, you want to talk to somebody because there are 50 doubts in your mind and you want to talk. But at the same time, the inside sales holiday advisors, there's a lot of attrition there, whether we like it or not. Right. And however much we train them up, you will find that the individual would probably leave. And that's where we realize that let's marry the power of what an Amazon does, which is viewers who viewed this also viewed this, or buyers who bought this also bought this, which is nothing but a recommendation engine. It's an artificial intelligence tool which you deploy to learn consumer search behavior, to learn what kind of a typical demographic would usually want to stay in what kind of a home.
Right.
And the entire discovery or information gathering is still done by the human being.
Right.
But the actual recommendation of which home to suggest is done by the AI engine. Right. So you've married the technology prowess of an AI engine with the human interface that an agent brings, removing the need for constant training, retraining. Mm-hmm. For example, I launch a new home. I put a 45-day booster in the AI tool so that in the first 45 days, it always figures in certain searches.
Right.
Now, what would I have to otherwise do? I would have to keep training every person in the inside sales team for every home. And the speed at which we launch homes is almost 15 per month.
Right.
Now, how do you keep everybody's knowledge up to date?
Right.
And so these are the ways we solve
our... So it's an inward-facing AI of sorts,
right? It is an inward-facing. And that's a very lovely term. Yeah. I'm going to tell this to my...
So it's actually more for your own... For your own inventory, to scale up your usage of the inventory.
Yeah, it's artificial intelligence to solve the natural stupidity of...
That's what most AI is, actually. That is what most AI is. But that's very interesting, right? Yeah. So you're still using a lot of this tech to actually solve for... this is an ops problem, right? You're solving an ops problem with this.
Yes.
At the same time, you have your external facing, like... consumer-facing channels, which is your own channels versus the distribution channels that you've set up, right?
Mm. Mm.
So long-term, what is, I mean, of course, this breakout verticals that you just mentioned, what is the scope you think for businesses like yours, right? I mean, is it...
The way we see ourselves is we see ourselves as your hospitality partners across the world, wherever an Indian goes. So he goes to London... He goes to Bali, wherever he or she goes. The biggest problem that you and I face is food.
Hmm.
3 days we will have outside food. 4th day we want to have Indian dal chawal. But what if I tell you can stay in Bali in private villas managed and maintained by an Indian with Indian food, Indian hospitality? You're already used to that hospitality in a villa in Alibag because you've experienced us. Next time you go to Bali, you will have the same.
Wow.
So our... aspiration is to scale worldwide. Our aspiration is to be your wherever you go. So we are in fact in the middle of a project where we are studying using data analytics and of course big data. Where does the Mumbaiker go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's an interesting question.
And figuring out that, we are trying to place our inventory in exactly those spots where the average Mumbaiker goes or a Puneker goes. Because as I told you right in the beginning, our focus is Mumbai. For some time. So we'll specialize in Jain food. And
nice. No, it's a very interesting data set to go after. And it's a very, I would say,
a rich data set
to go after, right?
Yes.
So, making more Jain rich Jain jokes?
No, man. Those you can do as many of them as you want.
No, but they are very particular about food.
Yeah,
they are.
Of course.
They're foodies.
Yes. Yeah,
and, you know, they're starved for options when they go outside. And then they have to stick to certain travel agents and certain tour groups, which is such a boring way to explore.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Exactly.
You still need the privacy. You still need the comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to solve that.
I've gone for these tours. We've eaten only Pizza Hut and Veggie Whoppers for like the longest time.
Really?
Yeah, because that's all you can get, right?
Yes.
Anything else you go for, like fries are a problem because lard used to be an issue up until a few years ago.
Mm.
Everything. It's really, really nightmarish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've traveled with such people,
I
have been at the...
You've met with that mercy as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not that person myself, but I've traveled with those people. I got a question for you.
Yes.
What, do you own any of your properties or do you just manage?
No, we were completely asset light.
Okay.
We sweat somebody else's balance sheet to generate our own P&L.
So then my question is, is one of the things that you might, because you mentioned how you're looking at servicing the Mumbai traveler worldwide.
Hmm.
But now the Mumbai traveler worldwide, you probably couldn't service a villa in Bali just for the Mumbai traveler.
Yeah.
So is there some kind of like service as a service kind of thing in the plans? That just kind of popped into my head when you were talking about this stuff.
No, of course. I mean, when you go to Bali, then if some Delhi guy comes, I'm not going to say no.
Right.
The business is business. And while I'm a Maharashtrian, I'm Marwadi, Jain and Sindhi all put together.
Wow.
So business is business.
Right, of course.
But having said that, even our data analytics that we're doing for where the Mumbaiker goes, what probably I should have added is I am also looking at where the Mumbaiker is investing money.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if he or she is investing money in London,
right,
then probably London is my next space.
Makes sense. No, so my question was actually a little different, right?
It
was actually more along the lines of is one of the things that you might look at doing in the future. Uh-huh. Something like, I want to go to Bali. Saffron Space does not have a villa in Bali, but they can source a villa in Bali and service it for us.
Yes. So that's something which we are exploring to have us even more asset light. Okay. Where we're not even committed to some, that's a flexible, elastic model.
Correct. Yeah. No, I was just thinking that if you're catering towards the giant population, for example, or that, right? That's something that will, you know, I mean, like, you're not going to necessarily be able to service 52 weeks off a particular space, but you might be able to service 6 weeks. And that seemed like an interesting thing because I know that in my family, if they had a degree of reliability that, you know, we're going somewhere and there is a group that's going to make sure that we are not going to have problems.
Superb.
We're not cost sensitive. We are cost sensitive, but we're not so cost sensitive that that would be out of the question.
You've just given me a fantastic business idea.
Another business idea.
Another
right?
business vertical.
Right here.
A service as a service.
Yeah.
So, you've got multiple buzzwords from this conversation, but very, very interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think there's just so much more to go from here, right?
Yes,
especially, and I completely agree with the mindset of the consumer today, the hunger and the depth of, you know, what all categories of consumer, and not just the 1,000 square feet starved, you know, space starved Mumbai person, but also those who have, you know, constraints around other experiences worldwide. So I think it's definitely the time for this, and people are, like you said, I completely believe we are in the sharing economy business now, where you're not investing in, you know, owned assets versus shared ones.
True.
Before we wrap up, tell us a little bit about the challenges that you face. I mean, I'm sure there are service standard, quality, and all the usual things that come with any typical hospitality business, right? But tell us one of the biggest challenges that you face, even within your focused area of you know, just Mumbai, Punegar zone.
So I think all the problems that you know, usually we encounter are solvable problems.
Right.
I think the one problem that we need to really, really, and I think nobody prepares you for this, is the entrepreneurial depression. So that it's a dark spot. And I must tell you that as entrepreneurs, you become lonely, your friends desert you, your best friends don't, but, you know, your larger circles suddenly start shrinking. You don't any longer get invited to parties because you've already started declining going to most of them. You're euphoric in the morning, and in the evening you're in complete dumps. You're paying
It's true.
So you're paying a financial price because a stable income is probably suspect. You're paying a personal price, you're paying a physical price. I lost my hair, I became I decided to become a little sexier by shaving it off. But all of these things start coming in, and I think to me, as an entrepreneur, my biggest learning was, how do I cope with all of this? How do I still come out of this with a smile on my face every single day? And to me, every other problem, whether it's a tech problem, talent problem, everything else is surmountable. You can manage it. And thankfully, I was lucky enough that my spouse, my wife, my co-founder, we are in together. So we go through these tribulations day in and day out together. And we kind of manage each other's moods. But I think this was the single biggest problem that I faced, and I had to, you know, really work on it.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So how are you now scaling your team? Do you want to do like a shout out to the folks listening in on, you know?
Yeah, do you want job applications?
Right.
To let people know where to
apply. That's always, I know that's something which is always a
especially for
chance.
Companies in Bombay.
We are forever looking for top talent, honestly. Yeah, I mean, and we love the fact that, you know, people who directly approach us have usually studied everything about us, read all our interviews, listened to all podcasts, and are clear in their mind what role they want to pick up. And there are some who, you know, who we pick up because we believe they are like stem cells. You know, they could do anything in the organization.
Right.
And startups usually require more of stem cells than super focused skills. You should
different
in the morning.
Stages,
So we're at that stage where we still require, we 100 plus people, but we still need stem cells in the organization because that's how we want to grow and remain probably nimble through our lives.
Lovely.
Cool.
Thank you. This was a brilliant insight into the the whole business. Thank you for that.
Everybody, quick reminder, please do make sure that you subscribe to the Slack channel. It's on ivmpodcast.com/junior1. Over there, there's a button saying invite me to Slack, and we'll invite you to the Slack channel. Also, please do remember to give us a review, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Just review us. It helps.
Yes. And Devin, how do you want to sign off? Do you have a Twitter handle where people can tweet to you or LinkedIn if they want to reach you? What's the best way to?
Twitter is a very funny Twitter handle. It's King Devin. Okay. I had narcissist tendencies back then.
Yeah. Sure. But that's what Twitter is for.
Oh, yes, it is.
You can reach me there, or of course LinkedIn, Devendra.Parulekar.
Perfect. Super. Let's hope, and I'm sure we should just do a survey. If you've stayed in San Francisco, then this would be a great time to do a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. You should
talk to us about what more
lovely
to expect. All right.
Great. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Pleasure.